Today we are beginning a new sermon series, a sermon series turning barriers into bridges. Now during this sermon series, we're going to be looking at Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is one of the most important teaching psalms. It's been used for centuries by the church, by the people of God. It not only helps us in the experience of worship, but it is teaching us great spiritual truth. And for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at it, applying it to our lives. I hope that you will be following along in your Bibles each week. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 3 today. The scripture says, "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture." May God bless the reading and hearing of His word. Almost all of us have experienced some hurt in our life that is not the hurt that comes from a disease or an accident, but comes the hurt is the result of something that someone has deliberately done to us. And frequently, we can allow that hurt that someone has projected upon us to be a barrier, like it's almost like a ceiling that we cannot get beyond. And during this series, we want to be looking at the things that keep us from reaching our potential. But when you think of potential, don't think of just the psychological potential. Think about spiritual potential. What it is that keeps you from accomplishing and becoming the kind of person God created you to be, He saved you to become, He has led and given you His Spirit. And look and see if there are some barriers in your life. One of the most frequent barriers is when someone has hurt us or wounded us. One of the most powerful stories of a person who turned their barrier into the bridge is Louis Zamperini. Louis Zamperini's story is told in Lauren Hillenbrand's bestseller, Unbroken. It will be made into a it's being made into a movie and will be released later in the fall. Louis Zamperini was an outstanding athlete. He qualified and participated in the Olympics. At one time, he held the record for the best time in the collegiate mile. When he was just reaching the peak of his career, World War II broke out. He volunteered to serve. He was over the Pacific. His plane was shot down, and he survived 47 days on a raft. When he was rescued, he was not rescued by friendly forces. Instead, he was captured by the enemy and for over 2 years was a prisoner of war. And during those 2 years that Louis was a prisoner, he experienced a tremendous amount of torture. And one of his captors particularly singled him out to receive some of the worst torture. During that 2 years, his family did not know where he was. In fact, at one time, they were notified by the military that he was missing in action. And another time, they had been told that he was killed in action. And as a result, they thought they had lost their son and their brother. But when the war was over, Louis was set free, and he came home to the United States a war hero. He was a man who survived. No one expected him to be alive. He had an engaging and powerful personality. He had a tremendous story because he had been an Olympic athlete. But instead of being able to use that, he immediately went into a deep depression, became an alcoholic. He was experiencing what many of you and I would say was post-traumatic syndrome. And he was just about to lose it. His wife goes to a Billy Graham crusade. She becomes a believer. And then through her influence, he becomes a follower of Jesus. And this guy who is struggling because he is so angry in particular at the one man who abused him terribly, That man was never convicted as a war criminal. He was, people in fact didn't know where he was. And here was Louis suffering, almost still a prisoner of what had happened. And this guy goes free. But after he becomes a believer, Louis Zamperini becomes an outstanding Christian leader, becomes a motivational speaker, a writer and author. And his story influences the lives of many people. Now, the story that he told was the same story he had when he was suffering the deep depression, the alcoholism, and the post-traumatic stress syndrome. It was the same thing, but suddenly that became a bridge rather than a barrier. And he has used his gifts for the glory of God. Now, in our lives, our stories are not nearly as dramatic. But almost everyone has experienced hurt. Not accidental hurt, but intentional hurt. There has been somebody who has either said or done something bad to you that's hurt you. And sometimes it's even a believer. But when bad people do bad things to good folks like us, it often stymies us as Christians. Frequently, you will hear someone explain why they no longer go to church. It was because they were in a church several years ago and somebody said something or somebody did something, and as a result, they've given up on church ever since. Rather than using that event as something to help them grow, they've used it as something that puts a lid on their growth. One of the most gifted Bible teachers I have ever known, for 10 years, dropped out of teaching. He was a teacher in a Christian college. Something happened at the Christian college that was unfair. He quit teaching. For 10 years, he went into another line of work. He would look back now and tell you those were the most 10 wasted years of his life. Instead of using it for good, he allowed it to hold him down. Now, what about us? It's very possible that there's an event, a circumstance. You can think of somebody that did something to you. It may have even been a family member. You may be thinking of something that's been said to you as a family member that's ruining your Mother's Day. It's ruining your time together as a family. And as part of God's kingdom, it does not have to ruin our life. In fact, everything that's happened to us can be a bridge rather than a barrier. When we look to the Old Testament, we have great insight into this through the character of David. When you look at Psalm 37, it's important to know who wrote it, when he wrote it, and why. This was written by David when he was an older man. He writes this to be used in the temple worship. Now, he is an older man, and he writes out of his own past experience. And his experience, he is a man who's been done wrong in life. Now, you look at his life. At a very early age, chosen to be king. He does his very best to give his allegiance to the reigning king, King Saul. And King Saul turns against him. He's jealous. David can't help it. David's simply done what God's called him to do, and it makes King Saul angry, and he turns against him. And here's David, God's anointing that must spend several years of his life hiding in the desert. Even though God's appointed him king, he's being done evil by an evil man, and it's nothing that he has caused. Time passes. That king dies in a tragic death. David becomes king, but he still does not live happily ever after. He has enemies most of his life, but one of the most unique enemies is his own son. Absalom turns against him. Now, Absalom turns against God's anointed. Absalom is a rebellious, angry son, and he gathers so much power that he forces David to leave the palace. And here's King David again, hiding in the desert for several weeks, running for his life, not because he's done something wrong, but because a young, rebellious man wants to destroy him. You look at his life, and you know that David at his times had probably thought, Lord, what's wrong with this picture? You chose me. I've tried to do what's right. Yes, David did some things that were wrong, but neither one of these sins were the neither one of these circumstances was were the result of that sin. He's done that, and he says, God, you know, this isn't fair. But now he writes as an older man. And he looks back, and he's given instruction to younger Christians. And notice what he says in verse 1. He tells them in verse 1, he says, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. He says, in the midst of this, don't allow this to ruin you. Because as he looks back in his life, he realizes had he stayed focused on the hurt that had occurred to him, the damage that he would done, and now when David is writing this, he doesn't know he's writing scripture. He is just writing something that's going to be used in worship. He doesn't know that it will be persevered through the ages, but it is such a great truth that applies to every generation. And that is when you're in the midst of being persecuted or being misused by someone, do not fret or do not worry about evil, the evil people, that what they're doing to you. Now, what do we learn in a practical way from that? We learn that we are not to worry and focus our attention on evil, on the hurt that we've experienced, because when we do, when you worry about your past hurt, what you're doing is you're increasing the possibility of other sin in your life. Worry about hurt feelings leads to additional sin. How does it lead to additional sin? Well, first, it leads to a desire for revenge. When you start dwelling and thinking about something that's been done to you, whether it's a remark or whether it's a deed or something that happened unfairly in a job, it's not long if you allow that to continue in your heart and mind, you start thinking about getting even. You think about things you could say. You could think about words that you could speak. You think about notes that you could write. You think about deeds that you could do in some way where you could find to be able to get even. And what does the scripture say? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, that's found in the book of Romans. It's a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 32. Why are we not to be interested in revenge? Because it is God's responsibility and not ours. When you are planning in your mind revenge, you are trying to take away the power and authority of God. You're saying, this is my responsibility. Now, why is vengeance never to be ours? It is because you and I do not have the full picture to work with. We have limited insight. You and I will take revenge at the wrong people at the wrong time if we're only dealing with our own hurt. A couple of weeks ago when I was teaching in the seminary in Romania, it was on the Tuesday morning as I was teaching, I noticed that one of the students, he came in just a few seconds late, and he goes all the way to the back of the room, and he sits behind everyone else, and just as I get up to speak, he puts his head down on the desk. And he's doing more than relaxing. I can tell he's going to sleep. Well, my thought is, well, I didn't travel all this distance over there, I'm a little bit of sensitive to it, but I wasn't going to say anything. But I thought one of the professors will, and I noticed the professor that was in charge of that class, what he does, he looks around, and I could see him look to the back, and I thought, now he's going to go do something. You know, he's going to go over and tap the young man on the shoulder. He didn't tap the young man on the shoulder. So I go ahead and teach, and when it's over, I notice the professor immediately goes to the young man, and my immediate thought is, justice is now going to occur. And so, because inquiring minds want to know, I ask him. I said, did the young man have a problem today? And it really wasn't that I wanted to know if he had a problem. I really was hoping he had said something to him. He said, yeah, I said, he's really had a tough time recently. He said, you know, he lives the furthest away from the seminary, and said he came in, he had a long train ride coming in on Sunday evening and said there'd been a crisis in his family. And he says, and then on Monday said, you know, he was tired. And he says, and then last night, he said, he's our IT man here at the school, and he was up all night making sure our computers were working. And here I wanted to take revenge on him. And due to his being up all night, I could use my equipment that day. You see, from my perspective, something needed to be done. But I had a very limited view of what was happening. Now, that's true in all of us. There are people that have hurt you and wounded you, people who have done things and said things, and you don't know what's happening in their life, and you will reach out at the wrong time, and when you say, vengeance is mine rather than the Lord's, you will make mistakes. But God is all-knowing. When we leave it to God, then we are trusting God's character to be in charge. Because when we dwell on vengeance, when we dwell on what's been done to us, we will inevitably go and do something we shouldn't do. There's another sin that dwelling upon our past hurt impacts, and that is to an elevated view of ourselves. Because what happens when we've been hurt, our first thought is, why did they do that to us, good people like us? Why would they choose us? We're a child of God. Why does it seem that Christians experience so much pain, so much suffering, so much rejection? Well, when we have those thoughts, we have an elevated view of ourselves. Because people do not just persecute us because of us. It's not about us. All sin is ultimately against God. When you have taken a stand for God and righteousness, and someone strikes out against you, don't take it personally. Don't assume it's about you. It's about God. They're angry at God. Why did Saul have such a problem with David? Was it David? No, Saul was a rebellious king who had great anger at God. He had a spiritual problem. David was just a symptom to him of what God was trying to do in his life. Look at Absalom. Was Absalom just a young rebellious son who was trying to get even with his father? He probably thought that. But what was Absalom's problem? Absalom's problem was resisting God's authority in his life. David was representing God's authority. So when you and I experience hurt when we're doing what's right and when we're doing what's righteous, don't take it personally. It's about God. It's not about you. Then we learn a second truth from this passage in verse 2. When the psalmist is writing, in verse 2, he says, now, the evil that you're experiencing in your life, remember, it is just temporary. In verse 2, he tells them, he says, you look upon evil men and the evil that they're doing. He says, it's like the grass you see. David was writing in a world in which most of the people lived in the desert. And as a result, they didn't have the luscious green that we see here in our part of the country. The grass would have a very limited life. The flowers would bloom, many of the flowers would bloom one day and then they would perish. And he says, remember these evil people who appear to prosper when people are doing bad things to you and they seem to be getting away with it. Remember, their life, their power is limited. Now, the spiritual truth on that, evil is limited. We need to remember that. Evil is very powerful, but it's limited. There is only one who is omnipotent. There is only one who is all-powerful, and that is God. When you're in the midst of being persecuted and things that have been said and done about you, do not assume that's going to last forever. You may not always get to live to see it, but it will not be all powerful. Evil is limited. One of the important truths, parents and grandparents, that you can teach your children is the difference between, not just the difference between good and evil, but between God and Satan. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. Evil is real, but it is not all-powerful, not all-present, and not all-knowing. It is limited. And when in life you begin to recognize that God is unlimited, but evil is not, and again, it doesn't minimize when, yes, evil is a powerful force, but God is greater. In the third verse, the psalmist gives us understanding of then how we overcome it when we've had this hurt. He says in the verse 3, trust in the Lord. And when you see that in verse 3, remember that's the general statement. As we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, almost every sermon, the central point is trust God. When you read the Psalms, almost every psalm is ultimately inviting, calling, commanding us to trust God. But what does that mean? Well, here, David helps us unpack exactly what it means. He says, trust the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, enjoy safe pasture. When he says, do good, that's not one of those little just quaint statements that says, go out and do nice things to people. It is the idea of remembering the purpose for which God's people had been created. The psalmist is writing this to be used in worship. This was not an evangelistic text. He's writing to the people of God, and he says, you're to do what you have been chosen to do. When we read the Old Testament, we often see the people of God as a chosen people, chosen for salvation. That's one small dimension of it. Remember that the Old Testament people had been chosen for service. Service was a part of the big picture. They had been called to reflect the nature and the character of God. Their purpose was to be good, not just to do good and nice things, but to be good as God was good, so that the world would see them and then worship their God. It was a means of glorifying God and putting the light on God. And the word glorify means put the spotlight on God. And when they were to do good, this was what they were doing. He's basically saying, you are to remember your purpose. You're to act upon your purpose. Now, when you're in the midst of the hurt, you're to act upon the purpose. And what is your purpose? Our purpose of believers is the same thing, the purpose of God in the Old Testament. We're to glorify God. Our life is to be used to glorify God. And far too often, we get distracted. Remember, during the late 1980s and up till 1998, there was a basketball fan in the NBA who was well known. He was an attorney. He was a fan for what was then the Washington Bullets. Now it's the Washington Wizards. He sat on about the second row, and he took it upon himself to become a heckler. And as a result, he would ridicule the players on the other team. He was cruel. He would find out things about their personal life, about their children, about their spouse, about their parents, and he would call it out loud. And the purpose of it was to help his team win because he wanted to distract the players. And he was mean and vicious with the way he did it. There was one player in particular that he could never get under his skin. And someone asked him, said, how do you do it? And he says, well, you know, he says, you can hear what he's saying. He says, no, I don't hear what he's saying. He says, you didn't hear what he said about your wife today? He says, no, I didn't hear. He said, well, why don't you hear him? And he says, well, it's not my purpose to run it. I didn't come here to win an argument. I didn't come here to defend my family. I came here to win a basketball game. I block everything out except why I'm here. Are you following me? Why are we here? We are not here to answer every critic. We are not here to defend ourselves. We are not here to make sure our feelings don't get hurt. We are not here to make sure everybody loves us and likes us. Why are we here? As a child of God, we have been created in God's image. Then through salvation, we have been recreated in God's image. And the purpose of our existence as a believer is to glorify God. It's about drawing attention to Him. When you and I find ourselves responding all of the time to criticism, to hurt, to injustice, we are distracted from our primary purpose. That's what often causes divisions in family. You have things said that are hurtful and they shouldn't have been said. You have things done that should have never been done. But if you dwell on how unfair, unjust, and wrong it was, you'll forget what the purpose of Christian family is. What's the purpose of a Christian family? It is to give glory and honor to God and to give evidence of the family of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do we reflect that? We reflect that in the lives of our family. We have to remember our purpose. And when we remember our purpose, it doesn't make it hurt any less, but it helps us to get beyond it. But then I really love what the psalmist says, where he says, enjoy the safe pasture. Now, this seems a little bit out of context, but when you look at David's life, remember, he's writing out of his own experience. He knows he's been a shepherd as a young man. It's been years since he's been a shepherd. But he knows how sheep function. That sheep are flighty. They get frightened easily. And as a result, sheep are continually watching to make sure that the shepherd is nearby. Sheep understand that the adult there or the person is to protect them. And when they can hear the wolf howl and they can hear the noises of the animals, they look up and see the shepherd and they enjoy the pasture in which they're now eating. And he says, when evil people do things to you, when you see the evil prospering, don't pay any attention to it. You're in safe pasture because you got the shepherd. And he mixes the metaphor. He writes regarding now as the shepherd in life. And he writes acknowledging that God is the heavenly shepherd. You not only need to remember your purpose in life, but remember your position. God has not only forgiven you. God has not only filled you with His Spirit, but God looks upon you with favor. That's what it means to be a child of God. And wherever you are and whatever is happening, that which matters most cannot be taken away from you. You're safe. Now, please hear me. I'm not saying nothing physically is going to harm to you. I'm not saying there's nothing bad going to happen to you. But that which absolutely matters most in life, your eternal destiny, your relationship within God, it's absolutely secure. And as a result, when you and I face criticism, when someone does something to us that hurts us, when we see people who are being mean and vicious and they appear to be prospering, We don't have to dwell on it. We don't have to be envious. We can relax and enjoy where God has placed us because we're in His pasture and the heavenly shepherd never leaves us. Would you stand, please?